every case that we can get produced is sold before it leaves the distillery. And there is not today, there is not a single case of G4 in wholesale inventory in the United States right now.
So hello and welcome to the Tequila Business Show. My name is Adam Fodor, I'll be your host, and our first guest is the wonderful Sean Miller. Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, Adam. Thanks.
So what you need to know about Sean is that he is, I believe, the right brain of the PKGD Group, which you may not know this business, but they are the importers of the legendary G4 tequila that we all love. And he agreed to do this interview with me, and the topic is going to be basically about the success story. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but in the segment of like authentic or what they say like real tequila or craft tequila, G4 is basically one of the biggest brands out there, right? I mean, the best selling.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. No question. I mean, it's absolutely a world-class spirit. One of the, you know, premier producer-owned, you know, authentic and transparent tequila brands in the world, for sure.
So this is about business. The topic is the business. So we're going to showcase people just how it all happened, right? Because it's not an old brand. Of course, you know, you're going to tell us about the story. And in just a very few years, I mean, G4 is almost everywhere. You even made an appearance in Big Bang Theory, if I remember well, which is kind of usually... Yeah. You know, reserved for the big guys, such, you know, appearances. And yeah, let's hear your story. And first of all, if I may ask you, like, would you mind telling a bit about yourself?
I don't talk about myself a whole lot, but you're in my office. This is my office. I'm in Holland, Michigan, and we're actually talking during tulip time, which is a strange time of, it's a tourist occasion in our time when everybody pretends they're Dutch. I have my wooden shoes on the floor right over here, and it's quite a thing in Holland, Michigan at this time of year. But as you can see, tequila's kind of taken over my life, and that's all happened in the last 8 years since we got engaged with G4.
Nice. Wow. And how did you get into the tequila business? Because correct again me if I'm wrong, but I think you told me that you're basically from the gym and like bodybuilding kind of industry. So originally.
Yeah. We're still in the fitness business. We've been in the fitness business a long time. We still are. We're also, and I think that the congruent skill set is marketing, right? Sales and marketing. And I've been involved in marketing and training and selling of things my whole working career. And I'm 52 now, so I've been doing this a minute. And you called me right brain, and that references my primary business partner, Jeff Ernst, who we call left brain. And Jeff and I have been friends since the eighth grade. And right braining, meaning that I'm the more creative, intuitive of the two, and left brain, meaning he's the more, like, he does the math, right? And Jeff's an actual genius, which it's handy to have an actual genius doing the math, and you don't want me doing the math. So I'm much more of a people person, intuitive person, creative type, right? But Jeff and I have been involved in business and marketing. We have other partners now, Mark and Chris, and we have a whole organization built. People all over the country, but we've been involved in selling things and marketing things for a long time. And we've been in the fitness business, as you said, and just prior to getting involved with G4, we had a marketing agency hubbed in the Chicago area, which I don't live too far from Chicago. And we were marketing primarily food, frankly, some consumer goods, but primarily food, a lot of pretty boring stuff like pasta that's on the shelves in grocery stores and things like that. But we were very early involved in social media, and we've always extended these concepts like you're doing with training is an important part of marketing, and like consumer education, content marketing, training. These concepts have been congruent for us for a long time. And social media has been a great platform for us to use for that. So we've been involved. I've just done something new on YouTube for G4 that we'll display tomorrow. And I've been involved with YouTube since there was YouTube, like since it first was launched. So we're early into that, and we've been doing it a long time. Anyway, we were selling food goods, and we were involved in things in Chicago, and we knew a man who was a business investor in various projects, and he had invested with a guy who was supposed to be importing G4 tequila. And it turns out, this is a fun and true part of the story, but the guy that was originally involved in importing G4, he was an actual criminal. So he stole the money from a whole bunch of investors.
Wow.
And he stole tequila from Felipe, and he defrauded everybody. And this guy that knew us, his name is Ross, he ended up being the most defrauded, and he ended up the out of that with the rights to import G4. Now, Ross is a construction guy, and he's made a lot of money in his life, but he didn't really know anything about tequila. And I always said it was to our great benefit now that he didn't know anything about tequila, because if he did, he would have hired somebody that knew the spirits business to help him with this brand. And instead, he just knew that we were trustworthy, first of all, which was very important at the time, and that we were good marketers. And we were just kind of cocky enough or dumb enough or whatever to say, well, yeah, we can figure out the tequila business. And so he asked us to help. We agreed to engage, and we flew to Guadalajara, and kind of the rest is history. But I think it's very important that you can't separate the success of the brand. If we're in a business conversation, we can't separate the success of the brand from the marketing, from the training of people, and just think it's just about the tequila, because the tequila is excellent. The tequila was excellent as well, right? And the tequila was great at that time, but nobody knew and nobody cared. So without the skill set and the focus on marketing and sales and training of people, nobody knew or cared that G4 was awesome. Now, it's to our great benefit that the tequila sells bottle number 2, right? It's our great challenge in this case is only to sell bottle number 1. And thankfully, the quality of the tequila sells bottle number 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. But selling bottle number 1 is not easy. And that was our skill set that's been great in helping, you know, sell the first bottle of G4, and then the quality of the product sells it, keeps it going.
Wow,
that's
thanks.
The quick version.
Yeah, I know. You know, we need some more time, I guess, for the, you know, the very long version. So thanks so much. Yeah, I think that's a really, really great explanation from your end, as in, you know, how you started, and then you took over. You kind of already explained the story that there was a little bit of it was sort of difficult to, you know, to get started because of some of the things.
It was a disaster.
Yeah. It was a disaster. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. So tell me about that, right?
Well, we had a double disaster. We had the normal disaster that you always have when you're new in business and that nobody knows who you are and nobody cares. And then you do, but there was, some of the key people in the industry knew that G4 had problems. And frankly, the guy that had stolen the tequila sold it very cheaply to a bunch of places in California and kind of set the precedence that the price was very, very, very low, which is G4 has always been a good value. It's never been a premium price, but it wasn't that cheap, right? So we had to overcome that. And then go through the process of learning, you know, not only the tequila and the business and working with Felipe, but also then learning the ins and outs and the uniqueness that is the spirits industry. So we had to understand those rules and those processes and understand, you know, these unique distributors, and we went through all that, and somehow somehow we navigated it, I guess effectively, because we're doing pretty well.
Nice. And just so that we understand, like, what was kind of like the size of G4? Because I remember even up until a few years back, like, there was even these unsold, you know, bottles back in Mexico, right? For ages. So
yeah, for sure. And I think the bottles that are, you know, the dusty bottles that you do find now and then in Mexico, they're found by Americans, probably, you know, foreigners. They're found by aficionados, the tourists. They're not typically, you know, the brand is not well known in Mexico. It's not even well known in Arandas, right?
Yeah, true.
Right?
True.
That's true. The brand was, and Felipe will tell you that the brand was always intended for export. Mm-hmm. It's more popular today in Mexico than ever, but I think that is primarily due to tourists and tourist locations and places that cater to foreign aficionados. Right, in those markets in Puerto Vallarta and in Guadalajara and those sorts of places now, but the brand, to be quite frank, the brand effectively didn't exist. Uh-huh. I mean, they had sold, in the totality of the previous 5 years, they'd sold less than one truck of tequila. Wow. in mm-hmm. the world, mm-hmm. and in El Pandillo, the distillery was largely funded by sales to the brand Pasote, right? So, and Pasote was critical in the success of Pasote early was critical for the success of Pandillo and the existence of Pandillo, frankly.
Ah, interesting. So you're saying that G4's own success is in a way related to the early Pasote. In a way,
yeah, I think so. I mean, the reason that we're talking about a small segment of the market, but the segment of the market that 8 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. There's more people today that know what a NOM is and these sorts of things, right? Fair than enough. There were 8 years ago. But 8 years ago, the people that did know what a NOM is, the people that did, you know, were super hardcore tequila geeks. They knew Pasote was great tequila, mm-hmm. and they knew it was coming from 1579, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, that was a maquila and is no mm-hmm. longer made at 1579, and the brand has taken a different twist now, right?
Sure, fair enough.
Just
so you know, I was asking you because, like, to me, it really seems like that, the role of someone like you who's taking on, let's say, importation or even distribution, to be fair, mm-hmm. yeah. is really essential. Because, like, you know, I mean, if you check Pasote now, it's in a different distillery, but brand recognition wise, G4 is now amazing. Yep. 8 years have passed, yep. Thanks to what you guys have done in the States. And Pasote, I mean, I don't want to be rude or bad or anything, but it doesn't seem to have the same recognition as you guys, right?
Yeah, clearly, that's clear. And I don't know their numbers or
sure.
I couldn't say, but clearly, you know, G4 is on a trajectory now. We grew the brand 5 times in 2023, and we've almost brought as much to the United States in 2024 already now in May as came in last year.
Wow.
The trajectory of the brand is fire. Yeah. And I can't begin to tell you what the potential is. Mm-hmm. All I can tell you is that every case that we can get produced is sold before it leaves the distillery. And there is not a single case of G4 in wholesale inventory in the United States right now. It's all sold through and all sold through. So as fast as they can make G4 and as fast as we can transport it and get it logistically distributed, that's how fast it sells. So the limits today, I don't know what the market potential is. I wish that I did. But all I know is it's everything Felipe can make. That's what the potential is right now.
And it's a great problem to have, right? I mean, being sold out even before you kind of produce almost.
Yeah, it's interesting, yeah. Right? As you go through in your time, you know, so you think about the story, how quickly we just went through the story. And there was a time when I would put let's say I would put a post on Instagram, for example, right? And and nobody would see it, nobody would comment, nobody would care. And now yesterday I put something on Instagram and I had 40 consumers complaining about why they can't find G4, right? Yeah. So it's a different, it's a very different environment, right, than it was at that time. So now I actually spend a good amount of time apologizing now, honestly. That's like become part of my, part of my job is professionally apologizing for not having more G4.
Fair enough. I mean, as I was saying, like, to be fair, it's a good problem to have, but also you have a lot of fans and you know, I mean, as long as you guys can grow the brand.
You hate to disappoint somebody. You hate to disappoint somebody. Yeah. And, you know, you hate to be, you know, obviously as a business person, you hate to lose a sale, right? Because somebody wants to buy your product and they cannot. But just as a person and as a steward of the brand, you know, to have people legitimately frustrated that they can't find the product, upset that they can't find the product, that's that, you know, that it hurts your heart a little bit, right?
It's
an uncomfortable thing. Yeah,
I know exactly how it is. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I mean, I used to do a lot more of the tequila tastings because that was the core business. And through the COVID, now we changed. We do a lot more with the International Tequila Academy and now we're starting lots of other different projects. And then, you know, many times I have to say no to the clients because, like, you know, I don't have the time or it's just two people. So it's not, you know, it's not as good business anymore. And then I know it's like, but it would be so nice because I actually enjoy doing that. Like, I know exactly how you feel. Like, you would be like, hey, these people, like, they can't have access to G4. How bad is it? Of course, I totally understand. And to be fair with you, I now understand why you're saying, like, you're the right brain because, you know, like, this is the empathy side of the business, right? And you actually care about the customers, right? And you want to
do
best, which is amazing. And then great for you and great for the brand. And just to carry on the conversation, what do you think would be like the key things that you put in there to kind of grow, as you're saying, almost from nothing, almost from ground zero? You built kind of G4 as a brand in the States over the course of 8 years. And what would you contribute to success to? Like, what are the key things that you did to make it happen, you think?
Well, I think a couple of things. So to give credit to the left brain side, what I hear, you know, what I hear from an empathetic standpoint, what I hear from the distributors that we work with, from the key retailers that we work with, I hear that we do an excellent job, right? Mm-hmm. That we're well prepared, that we do what we say we're going to do. We're, you know, we're accountable. We're prepared. We communicate well. You know, I hear that, right? Mm-hmm. And it's easy to say, well, everybody's prepared and everybody communicates well, but apparently not, right? So we hear that we do a really good job of making sure that we manage the business well. So I appreciate that. And then I think on the other side, you know, there's three parts to this stool. And I mentioned one already. We do have a fantastic product, right? We have excellent tequila. We don't have the most beautiful presentation, probably the most beautiful bottle or label, but what we have in the bottle is exceptional, right? We have a really, really, really quality product. So if we can get people to try it, you know, they'll like it. Okay. Right. So, and if they buy a bottle, they'll probably buy another one and another one and another one. So there's that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I think the third aspect is the storytelling and the training that we've done. And that's what I call marketing is the way that I execute what we call marketing in general is storytelling and training. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time, in very transparent communication and very detailed education of consumers, of salespeople, of employees, of bar staff, and really earnestly trying to, you know, tell an engaging story, but also, you know, give a lot of transparent information about the brand and the product and the process and teach people something that makes them feel empowered to, you know, to sell more or to share with their friends or this kind of thing. So that marketing style has worked well for us.
It's interesting now that you mentioned, because I wanted to ask about it later, of course, But I think one of the key things that you pointed at is literally consumer education, right? Like to be prepared, to be prepared to kind of, you know, understand the brand and how to communicate the values, right, that a consumer is getting from buying a G4. And to be fair, if I may ask this, like, I could say like on a scale of 10, you know, how would you say like consumer education, what's like the role that it plays in the business success that you had?
Well, I think it's very, very important. I hate to put a number on it, you know, maybe it's an 8 or a 9 or I don't know. I hate to put a number on it, but what I will say this is in craft beer had grown, you know, significantly from nothing to a significant segment of the market. And it's not dominant in the market, but it's now about, I believe it's about 15% of beer sales in the United States are what we call craft or from a small brewery or, you know, something like that. It's not Budweiser or Coors, right? Yeah. So in the tequila segment, we now have 9% of the industry is small brands, authentic brands, these traditional tequilas. It's not Cuervo or Herradura or Casamigos or Patron, right? It's a small, it's something small. And he made that comparison to craft tequila or to craft beer. And I think, you know, the way I and most people were introduced to craft beers is happening in tequila, where you get somebody has an experience, right? So someone you know has an experience. They go to a microbrewery or in this case, they've been introduced to an authentic tequila and they liked it and they learned about it and they become an advocate for that, right? And we can use business jargon. We can call them a consumer advocate. We could call them a micro influencer. We could call them whatever, but they bring that to a party or they invite some friends to come to the little microbrewery. Or in this case, they invite some people to come, you know, have a little tacos and tequila night at their house and try something that these people, you know, their friends have never had before. And so I think that empowerment has been really, really important. And I think recognizing that for us was very important because early on, the only people that were interested in G4 were what I call us with most affection. I call us tequila nerds. I call us tequila nerds. You can call aficionados, whatever you want to call. But the guys that are in the tequila groups, the guys that have, you know, collections like this at home, these people were the only ones interested in G4. And what I recognized is those people are doing exactly that activity. They're teaching bartenders about authentic tequila. They're teaching friends and neighbors and coworkers about authentic tequila. They're in the nerdy groups talking and teaching noobs about authentic tequila, you know, on social. And they're bugging store employees about authentic tequila. You know, they're asking local stores to order, you know, Fortaleza, to order G4, and why don't you have Cascoin, right? That micro influence times thousands of people is a big, big, big deal. And so we recognize that, you know, we embraced it, we put out, we empowered them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that we've done now with the Tequila Academy is an extension of that, right? It's a way to scale the empowerment of consumer advocates and brand influencers, and I think that's very, very powerful tool, and I'm thrilled with the outcome of that. Right?
Wow! I mean, thanks so much, first of all, Sean. So, for those of you listening and may not know that we actually have a really cool cooperation, right, with G4 and the International Tequila Academy, in that you can learn about the brand. Learn about how it's produced, like all the little tiny details, right? And go really nerdy about it, as you may say, right? And it's available, it's accessible, and it would really support anyone who is just interested in just learning more about how G4 is made. And of course, it relates to the whole category in a sense. We talk about craft or authentic or real tequila, however you may call it. It caters for that. And it helps that sort of micro level transition, which is literally starting from obviously, you know, the most Felipe and like the family. And then, of course, you know, you have people who visited the distillery and, you know, they kind of sleep with like a G4 bottle or on the pill or something like that. And sure. Then, you know, comes the retailer stores and maybe, you know, some other people who are in some level involved with the brand. So it's, I think it's really great to have that feedback that you said. And now eventually, we made it free. So, you know, like the videos, you can just click a button and you can watch the videos, by the way, Sean, just for, you know, literally mm-hmm. just did it today.
Yeah.
So people can just do it now and they can even do the certification. Either they can just reach out to you guys because you know you have the power to give it out to distributors or your importer mm-hmm. Wholesalers or whoever is from the industry. And I believe we also have like a nice link, right, that you can share and they can just, you know, get the negative yeah. certification if they want to be. And why would you want to get it? I mean, you know, you may want to just, you know, nerd out about it, but I believe that it really helps to kind of. Now we have a huge distributor as well that they have a whole sort of brand training for their staff, right? So they can actually yeah. become better salespeople. But I'm gonna try and, you know, let you speak. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm supposed to be asking questions, but really, like, what do you see about the application of the course?
Well, and that's that might be so that aspect mm-hmm. of sales training might mm-hmm. be the most important aspect of how we're using the Tequila Academy course for G4. And understand that, like, in the state that I'm in the state of Michigan right now, there are only three distributors in this state. It's a top 10 market in terms of sales volume of spirits, but there are only three distributors. So that means that each sales rep is supposed to competently know something, and I'm not exaggerating, something like 6,000 SKUs.
Wow.
They're supposed to know about. And I'm yeah. not exaggerating because there's only three distributed. And, mm-hmm. and in other states, there's like five, right? Wow. Six, maybe. It's not in any place are there dozens of distributors where they're really, really specialized. So these people are supposed to know about 6,000 SKUs. So that's impossible. Right. Mm-hmm. First of all. And secondly, the only vehicle that's really existed to train those salespeople are their sales meetings. So in a sales meeting, the most time I've ever been granted in a sales meeting was 20 minutes. On most occasions, I get 10 or 15 or 12 or something like this. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine making somebody an expert in G4 in 20 minutes, like, or 12? Like, it's silly, right? And yeah. and you're trying to do this in the construct of they also are supposed to know four, five, 6,000 other SKUs. So to be able to provide them with the ITA course in such a way that they can do it on their phone, they can do it on their laptop, they can, you know, it's developed into these little chunks that are about 5 minutes of length, right? Mm-hmm. So they can do 5 minutes and 5 minutes and 5 minutes and then. You know, they have little quizzes and they have a little exam and anyway, are they an expert? No, but will they learn something? Absolutely. And will they learn more than they learned in my sales meeting where, by the way, when I'm given 20 minutes, that means I was given 20 minutes out of an entire day of presentations, right? So, yeah. so it was me and Tito's and then Casamigos and then, right? So to yeah. give them this training in a way where they can consume it whenever they want, you know, in any place they're comfortable, they're going to retain more than they did in that sales meeting. And in this ability to empower that sales force is fantastic. So we have this case now where we have an entire distributors, a national distributor sales force, that it is actually required of them to complete the training. And so, you know, when we started on this endeavor, I had hoped that they would share it with their sales team. I certainly did not expect that they were going to make it a required thing for their jobs. Right. So, we, you know, so together we've made something that's very, very powerful. for G4 Tequila, and I'm extremely grateful. And I think that you know the business benefit from that is really, really hard to estimate.
Ah, okay, I see what you mean. Like, obviously, it's hard to get like a number, right? Like how much are you gonna profit from this? And I totally understand, and I agree with you. But I think also, you know, it's kind of interesting what you were saying, because most of the 21st century currency actually is attention as well, as that's what you were saying,
right?
Sure. So if you have like 6,000 SKUs and you're there like 20 minutes in person, and then it's all gone. I mean, I've been to the distillery several times, and the first time I was there, I barely spoke Spanish. And of course, Felipe is not one of those people who is just, you know, easy to understand, sometimes even like talking to himself, kind of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I don't know anything. And then I went back again and again and again. And you know what? I was listening to you explaining, you know, about G4, and there were still like details I was able to find after, I don't know, 6 years that no one's ever told me. And just having that sort of, you know, calmness and just, you know, okay, this is me here in front of my computer. I'm totally focusing on one thing. We have the quizzes, of course, and to be fair, I've had a lot of feedback that some of the guys out there, they're doing this course like during like a lunch break or in between, right?
Sure.
So it's super cool. Yeah. Like, it doesn't even have to be like 120 minutes or something. You can just break it down into small chunks and do it whenever you can, right?
100%. And it's you can do it on your phone, you can do it wherever, and it's super, super easy. And I'll tell you this now, there was a new application for the course the last 2 days that's totally surprised me, Adam. I'll tell you about this. So
please do.
somebody from our company was asked to come to the Goody Goody stores, which is a big retailer in Texas. And they were asked to go to the biggest store in Fort Worth 2 days ago and the biggest store in Dallas last night. And they were asked to do a consumer education training and tasting program for a whole room full of people. And they didn't feel prepared for that, if you will. They didn't feel like they had all the competence to do that really, really well. So to my surprise, and I had never considered this as an application, but what they did was they signed into the course on the laptop and they put it on the projector or on the big screen in the room and the speakers and all that, and they introduced themselves and this sort of thing, and they told them what was going to happen, and then they played the introduction to the course, and then they talked about the quiz, and then they played the next part of the course, and they talked about the quiz, and they played the next part of the course, and they talked about the quiz, and they went through, and you can if you go hard at it, right, you can go through the course in an hour. Yeah. And that's what they did. Mm-hmm. So they actually used the Tequila Academy course in a completely new way, and then of course in the same context, then they introduced a whole room full of people who were interested in tequila to the Tequila Academy. And when they called me to tell me about it, they said they had several people in the course that were really interested in learning more about the courses with the Tequila Academy and going through the program of ITA, because they thought the course was really well done and they really liked the format. So that's a whole new application that I had never thought of, right?
Yeah, thanks for sharing. I mean, neither have I, but obviously I think we're going to see a lot of things like that, right? Because you know the brand from the back of your head, right? So whenever you have to talk about G4, you're not, you're just going to whatever, right? I mean, you could talk about G4 for all night, basically, right?
I could.
Yeah. Of course, but like, someone whose job is not like, 24/7, selling G4 or something similar, but as you're saying, like, they have like other stuff as well. Not to mention that there are beers and wines. I mean, the liquor store is selling not just tequila, but even other spirits, right?
Yes.
Rum and whiskey. Yeah. And it's hard to keep up with everything.
I can't give you, the funny thing is, and I have had for years various lengths of G4 training presentations that people could borrow, but they didn't have the words, right? So they had to come up with their own words, right? And and that was hard. It was intimidating and didn't get used or didn't get used effectively very well. This is a scenario now, now that this is introduced, a distributor sales rep or a store employee or a bar, you know, somebody in a bar that needs to train their staff, right? Yeah. They could, with almost no education about G4 themselves, they could entertain, and educate a room full of people in a way and do it really effectively just by taking them through the course. And I had never imagined that would be an outcome of this, but I can see a lot of applications, and I can see, somebody, with very little brand knowledge being able to deliver a very effective training presentation in a lot of places. And that's really cool, right? That's very, very cool opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. And just want to give you a huge thanks as well for being the guinea pig, literally, for the program. Because I have to say again, like, you're the first. So you're the first for this interview as well, and for the program. And I think, Sean, I just want to mention this because I think it's really interesting information that I think kind of trying these new innovational things, like, it can also help businesses, right? And it may also be part of your success that you're not really shy. Whenever something comes up, you're almost always the first to kind of get in and try and get involved.
Yeah, I guess I guess so. Jeff would say we have just enough ego to think we can figure it out. Like, we agree to stuff that we have no idea how to do it, and then mm-hmm. we figure we can figure it out before we get in trouble. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way, honestly. I just feel, I just want to do things that are interesting and that I think would be valuable and fun. And in this case, it was absolutely clear to me that the Tequila Academy was well done and a great format and a lot of, good environment to provide training about tequila. So it was an obvious connection to me that we could use this to train, to train specifically about G4 just as well as we could train about authentic tequila, right? So I didn't think that was risky at all, but
fair enough.
We're in a good spot.
Yeah, I mean look, I think a lot of people have different tolerance as well for risks or just trying new things out, or because I think a lot of people may feel like, if it's not going to work out, what's going to happen, and think about that more versus just do the business decision. Like, let's just try it, because what if it's actually going to work out? And I'm astonished to hear that actually it worked out even better than you imagined, because that's something that you always want to hear. So thanks so much.
100%. And who knows what the next, somebody else, smarter than you and I is going to come up with yet another idea of how to use this. And that's cool. And I guess, funny, I had a funny thought when you were saying that. I guess it's good that I'm my own boss, because I can't get in trouble with anybody, right? if this was a disaster, so what, right?
Fair enough. And it's great. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because I was preparing for a question for that as well, in a sense that apart from you being your own boss, which we all know what it feels like, but what is it? I mean, you transitioned from fitness to literally being an importer of spirits. And I can only assume that it's a very entirely different world, but not sure if you can, tell a few stories.
I guess, it is, of course it's different. But here's the thing, people are people, right? People are people. That's my answer to that, right? So if they're customers, if they're, part of your infrastructure of how the business is run, then they're those types of people. And if they are, if they're employees or business associates, then they're employees or business. To me, that doesn't really matter. And I think we have three distinct types of businesses now, that run out of this office. I think it's not that different, right? One to the other. It's just a matter of understanding, obviously the fitness customer has a different problem to be solved, mm-hmm. right? Or a different goal, a different thing that they're after, right? From mm-hmm. that activity or that purchase, than does a tequila consumer, right? Probably quite the opposite.
But yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. But most everybody is just trying to, you know, either solve a problem or to feel good or to have a good time or to, you know, feel better about themselves or, you know, something of that nature. Right. So how can you help them with that? And then, of course, as you learn a little bit about business and you have some opportunities, I mean, I mean this earnestly, the tactics that we use in marketing fitness are no different than the tactics we use in marketing tequila. Mm-hmm. It's just a different story about a different product and a different problem to solve.
Interesting. So it's great that you mentioned that literally you believe, which is very interesting to think like that, but I agree with you, is that you're literally solving a problem to your customer. So in a sense, every business is the same. Yeah. You solve a problem, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, mm-hmm. they solve a problem or they fulfill, you know, they fulfill some need or desire, mm-hmm. right? In some way. It's hard to say that a bottle of tequila, you know, solves a problem, but it's also hard to say that, you know, six pack abs solves a problem. Right. I mean, uh-huh. maybe something of self-esteem or something, maybe, I suppose, but it's a bit of a stretch, you know?
So yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, the tequila consumers, they want to have a fun experience. And, mm-hmm. and, most of in my impression mm-hmm. is the tequila consumer, the G4 consumer, they're generally not self-centered in their interest in tequila. They're mm-hmm. generally wanting to share it. Mm-hmm. Like they're really interested in it, and they like the experience that they had, mm-hmm. and they want to share it. Right. That's yeah. clear. And I think that's one of the reasons that they're so receptive to training and storytelling or mm-hmm. empowerment type marketing. Because it helps them do what they wanted to do, which is hospitality and sharing a great experience with other people that they like.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting take on that. That sort of, you can even say it's kind of like a community or like belonging to kind of something, sure. right? Like we have the same, we share the same tequila, the same stories, and we have the same passion or even hobby, I guess. There's some people, it's yeah, even a hobby, right?
100%. I mean, if you're walking through an airport and you see somebody in a Fortaleza t-shirt, that's like seeing somebody wearing the shirt from your favorite soccer club in Europe or something, right?
Or rock
like,
band, yeah.
Dude, you know, you're like, dude, yeah, you know, I mean, you're going to see that right away, right?
Yeah, true.
So that's absolutely. That's absolutely true.
Great.
I don't think Cuervo has that, right?
Yeah. I don't know, right? I mean, that's the other effect. If you're like a tourist or something, right? Like, you're going to know that they were in the gift shop in Tequila, you know, purchasing that mm-hmm. probably, right? I mean, they're not just going to wear it on, you know, on the streets or as a sign like, hey, I'm part of this. But yeah, more like, you know, when you, I don't know, like the Budapest t-shirt, like when you go to Hungary and then you're going to buy the local stuff or London, right? And then right. No, none of the locals right. will wear it, but you know, you're a tourist, you just don't know what you're talking sure. about. But true, like if you wear a Fortaleza, you're probably like, oh, okay, this guy, you know, probably, you know, knows a few things about tequila maybe, or is part of absolutely. This sort of community who are, as you're saying, like, you know, appreciate, you know, because there are people who appreciate craft beer, right? And then, yeah. And then you appreciate the culture behind it. You appreciate the work behind it. And then when you get together with another person who actually share the same passion, you can talk about, hey, is this style, this brand, this producer. And yeah. I think, yeah, it's. I agree with you that it definitely is going on in the tequila world. And if you're within it, like you can actually always get these internal kind of, you know, phrases and terms or even brands that yes. would catch yes. it. So yeah.
100%. Absolutely. Yes.
That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that as well. You know, it's interesting. To be fair, I wasn't expecting that that answer, but it makes perfect sense. In a sense, in the end, every business is a business, and you got to enjoy what you're doing. I assume you enjoy it a lot.
Sure.
So
yeah, I mean, we work really, really hard. I mean, I'm not going to exact. You know, we. Yeah. Well, I always I say this as a joke, but it's not. We work when we're awake, and I'm not exaggerating. Like I work if I'm awake, I'm working. And people tease me because I play a lot of golf, and I do play a lot of golf. And you're like, you're always playing golf. I said, but I literally work on my phone as I walk between shots. Like I'm always working, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no question that we work really, really hard. But it's good. It's good work, and it's proved to be fruitful, and we're having a good time.
Exactly. I mean, I think what they say, if you do what you love for a living or something like that, you're literally not going to work a single day for the rest of your life because it's kind of your passion, but it's work. So people don't know there's still accounts to be done. There's still like, you know, a lot of things that you may not enjoy as much, but yeah, in order to be successful, I 100% agree. Like you just have to put in the work. So, and this is another thing that we business people, you know, maybe know a little bit more. And now it kind of makes sense, even though I thought it would be a little bit different. But in the end of the day, it's always about, you know, you have the grinding, you have like the nice parts when, you know, you can talk about the fruits of your success. But that is kind of the lower percentage in the end. And I appreciate, you know, your response for having us to do the invitation. And you know, literally my last question for you, and again, thanks for taking your time to be here with us and, you know, kind of sharing your thoughts. And I think it's really, you know, some new original things that I've never heard. So I appreciate that. And so where is G4 now? Because we have like the beginnings, you know, how rough it was. You kind of shared with us some of the things that you were doing in order to become successful. And now we can kind of state that it's a huge success. You already told us that 2024 is looking to be an absolutely wonderful year. And probably, you know, we're going to even go more. But I'd like you kind of talk about this topic. So how is it now and how is the future looking like for G4?
Well, I guess I asked this and answer this in two ways, right? So I said that our sales are limited only by how much tequila can be produced and bottled as G4, right? So there's and Felipe loves this part, right? The happiest Felipe is running like a front end loader, right? That's the happiest Felipe, like running operating machine or something. So the construction at El Plendillo is omnipresent at this point. So everybody knows there's a new cava that's been built, which is a massive increase in barrel aging, so that someday, you know, years from now, there will be much, much more aged G4. He's adding twice as many ovens, twice as much fermentation tanks. He's adding another primary still for Ordinario. He's doing everything he can, and he's doing it all at once. he's not doing this one, this one, this one. No, they're all happening. I mean, there's people working all over the distillery, and amazingly, without shutting down production, right? So that's hard to do. So he's building additional ovens outside, so that he doesn't make a mess inside that screws up production. So he's doing this all at the same time. So I don't know the capacity of G4. I really don't. I don't know how much we can sell, but I know that we will have a lot more in the future, and I feel confident that we'll be able to sell that. And then I will say this, right? Our company is technically the importer and the marketing agency, right? We're called Package Group. And so what we've done, Adam, is we've built this company and this organization, but we've been limited in how much G4 we could sell. We've had other opportunities. So we have added some additional brands of tequila. We've added a mezcal brand from Oaxaca and a mezcal brand from Durango. And so we're growing on our side. We're growing an organization that's focused on, you know, world-class, transparently produced, you know, agave spirits that are owned by the producer, and the same type of arrangement as is G4 for us. But we're growing an organization beyond G4 now. And that's it's pretty cool. It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool. And it lets us actually present to both use G4 and then present G4 in different ways as part of a portfolio. So there are times where, you know, where the discussion is about mezcal and then G4 is introduced. And there's times that the discussion is about G4 and a mezcal gets introduced, let's say. So that's that we're building leverage as an organization. And that is fruitful for G4 and also is a fruit or outcome, right, of the success of G4, both at the same time. So there's a lot going on, and we're very excited about it.
Fair enough. And I have a bonus question for you, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Is that actually, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a huge fan of supporting, you know, local producers. So G4 is one of these brands, and I think you're gonna do El Viejito as well, importation, and some of these other brands, mezcal brands, are also fitting in the same picture. And it seems to be that it's kind of like a passion or kind of like a mission as well for you to support these local producers, right?
Well, here's what we think. What we think was really special for us with G4 is that you have an exceptional product that's owned by the producer. It's not a maquila. It's not, you know, some owned by some celebrity or rich guy or something. It's owned by the producer. It's owned by the family. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the most impact, the most economic benefit to come to that community is by building great producer-owned brands, right? Mm-hmm. And building great houses where they make and sell their own brand. I believe that's the best thing for the family and the best thing for their community in the economic development of that. And I think the unique partnership between, you know, Package Group and Felipe is that Felipe is that. Right, he's a great producer of a great producer-owned brand, but he doesn't have any interest in the marketing whatsoever. And he literally handed it to us wholesale, like, have fun, right?
Yeah.
And we've done every single thing that there is to do with the marketing of G4, and that's worked, right? So then you introduce a brand like El Viejito. So El Viejito is a fourth generation producer-owned brand. Right, of great quality, but they have subsisted, existed as a business for 87 years by making maquilas. They've never figured out how to market and sell and build their own brand. And so, and part of the reason that I feel so strongly about the value of that is by learning about the struggle of Viejito. Right. And the inconsistency and the coming and going in the lack of control of making maquilas has really been a trial for them for generations. Now they've done it and they've got along and I'm sure, you know, the owners are well off. They've done well. Right. But they've not hit home runs and they've not built generational wealth. Or community changing wealth, like the brands that have won, right, and been successful. So I think this alliance of them being great producers of great product and us being good marketers, I think this is a winner. And I think we can do something that will be impactful for the family and the employees and the community around El Viejito for a long, long time. And we'll have fun and we'll make some money doing it, right? Which is cool. And so that's what I believe is our sweet spot. Uh-huh. And I'm quite passionate about it. Yeah. I really think it's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. Thanks so much for telling the story about it, because passion is something that I can share with you and I understood that. But to me, it also seems like that it's also kind of like a really great synergy that you have, right? So you're the US market expert and sales guy who also, you know, respects like that they have whatever they have, you know, within their family catering for, you know, generations. And they also share the same respect back that, you know, well, you are the person who, you know, who's going to sell our tequila and help our brand. So they give you all the authority and they're probably not going to, you know, like get into your business of how you do your operation, which some other cases, maybe some other owners may just be like, "Hey, I know it better," or you know, maybe you would have that sort of problem with if you don't.
There's all sorts of problems when you have you know, when you're not sure who your boss is, there's all that's really challenging, right? Or yeah, you know, exactly. it's one of the frustrating things for employees is when they have, you know, three bosses, right? It's super yeah. frustrating, right? Yeah. So in this case, when we have an alignment where they let us do our jobs and they do their job, I don't tell Felipe how to make tequila.
Yeah, exactly, right?
And
not that you could.
Well. No, it wouldn't go well if I did. But I don't have any interest in even in telling, you know, suggesting to him that, well, the extra añejo should be a little more suave. You know, forget that, right? And similarly, he doesn't come in and say, you know, the way you explained that on that video wasn't quite right, right? He doesn't do that either.
Oh yeah,
right. So between us, we just really focus on doing what we do really, really well, and it's working.
Yeah, definitely. And to be fair with you, Sean, I think it's working just a lot better than anyone would have imagined, right? Even probably you wouldn't have imagined that you'd be here, right?
When
you
started, we had no idea. We had no clue. Yeah. Absolutely no idea. Yeah.
Which is probably for the best, because then you wouldn't have known about the hurdles along the way. So, you know, I mean, it's sometimes best not to know what's going to happen. So
for sure.
Fair enough. So thanks a lot, Sean, really for this conversation. I really appreciate, you know, you sharing with all of these amazing stories. I had a great time. I hope you had a great time as well sharing the stories with us.
Thank you.
And, you know, wishing you all the best of the success. And for those watching us, we have, don't forget to check out the G4 official brand training program that we have on International Tequila Academy.
Absolutely.
And of course, if you have the luck to find a nice G4, just buy it, you know, because it's probably not going to be there for long, wherever you are.
Absolutely. Buy one. Right? If you see a bottle of G4 on the shelf, buy it.
Yeah. Just buy it. And at least you try it. If you don't like it, you know, no problem. You know, it's not for everyone. But you know, it's a real luck. And it's a really pleasure to have such brands around. They're here for us for the tradition side of the tequila. And for that, we're ever grateful. We're so grateful for you, Sean. Thanks for helping us out. And thanks a lot for all of you guys watching the show. If you want to subscribe to the channel, feel free to do it. Check out G4 stuff as well and drink great tequila. That's all I have. And most importantly, just have fun. All right. Just no drama, no politics. Just have a nice time trying to, you know, enjoy life. I think that's what tequila is about. That's what the Mexican culture is about. So let's just stay there.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Cheers. Bye, everyone.